Westminster Confession, Chapter 16, Paragraph 5. We cannot by our best works merit pardon of sin or eternal life at the hand of God by reason of the great disproportion that is between them and the glory to come, and the infinite distance that is between us and God, whom by them we can neither profit nor satisfy for the debt of our former sins. But when we have done all we can, we have done but our duty and are unprofitable servants, and because, as they are good, they proceed from His Spirit, and as they are wrought by us, they are defiled and mixed with so much weakness and imperfection that they cannot endure the severity of God's judgment. So, Westminster Confession, Chapter 16, Paragraph 5. And this is teaching us that salvation by good works is impossible, that we can neither take away our guilt nor make ourselves fit for heaven. So first of all, and we'll try and be brief because of the baptism service later on, no justification by our works. No justification by our works. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Romans chapter 3 verse 20. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So there is no justification by our works. That is to say, justification is the opposite of condemnation. It is to be declared righteous by the judge. And we will never, on the basis of our own efforts, be declared righteous by God. Romans chapter 4 verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. This is telling us that in the Old Testament, Abraham was not justified by works. It wasn't his own personal efforts that secured acceptance with God. God imputed righteousness to him on the basis of the merits of Christ who was to come. Abraham rejoiced to see Christ's day, and he saw it and was glad. And David, likewise, in Psalm 32, describes a righteousness imputed, not a righteousness that puts God under debt to accept. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 and 9. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So that's telling us that salvation is all of grace, of undeserved kindness. Kindness to the undeserving, kindness to the hell-deserving. And it's quite clear that there is no room for anyone to think that they can earn salvation and then boast that they've done it themselves. Titus chapter 3, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So So justification is by grace, it's undeserved, and it's through the imputation, the reckoning to the account of sinners, the righteousness of Christ for all who believe upon him. Then there is no sanctification by our efforts, which I believe what is meant here by when the part that says, by reason of the great disproportion that is between them and the glory to come. That is, there is an unfitness for the world of blessedness. Not only are we not qualified because of our guilt, but we're unfit for heaven, and we cannot make ourselves holy. Romans 8 and verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We cannot make ourselves fit for that glory to be revealed. We cannot make ourselves holy. It must be by grace. And then thirdly, we are unable to profit God. Unable to profit God. It says, an infinite distance that is between us and God, whom by them we can neither profit nor satisfy for the debt of our former sins. This is telling us that we cannot do God a favour. We can't help him out in any way whatsoever. We cannot put him under our debt. Psalm 16 and verse 2. Psalm 16 and verse 2. Psalm 16, verse 2. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. There the psalmist David is saying that his goodness, his well-doing, that he cannot help God. My goodness in the sense of doing good to. We cannot do good to God. I think Calvin renders it, my well-doing extendeth not unto thee, as if God had need of something and we can help out. We can't do that. But we show our love to God by the way we treat others, especially to the saints that are in the earth and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. We show our love to God by loving his people. Another instance of that in the Psalms, Psalm 50, verse 8. Psalm 50, verse 8. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. In their outward form of worship, they were treating it as if they were doing God a favour, that God somehow needed their sacrifices, rather than it being a thankful expression of their hearts. And then in the book of Job chapter 22, Job 22, verse 2, can a man be profitable unto God, as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous, or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? This is saying that there is a sense, of course, in which God does take pleasure in real righteousness, because he himself is righteous. But here it's the argument is that we cannot add to God, we can't give God something that he doesn't have. In that sense, we cannot profit God. So Job 35 verse 7 and 8, if thou be righteous, what givest thou him, or what receiveth he of thine hand? Thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man. This is saying that we can't give God anything extra. We're obliged to obey God, but we cannot, as it said the previous time, supererogate. We cannot do over and above what is simply our duty. We can't do God a favour. And all that we do is only at our duty at best. We cannot do anything extra. Luke 17 and verse 10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Even if we could be perfectly obedient to God, we'd have done nothing more than was our duty, and we haven't added something beyond what we are obliged to do. Then 50, all that is good is of God. All that is good is of God. And because as they are good, they proceed from his Spirit, and as they are wrought by us, they are defiled and mixed with so much weakness and imperfection that they cannot endure the severity of God's judgment. Here is, as it were, the final closing out of pride, that even as believers, when we serve the Lord from the heart, even what we do that is good is only by God's grace working in us, so far as it is truly good in the sense of the right thing to do, done from the right motive and action. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These things which are our duty are the fruit of the Spirit. If it's not the fruit of the, if it doesn't arise from the Spirit working in us, then it doesn't arise. They don't exist apart from the Spirit of God working in us. We have the same thing in Galatians 5. But then verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that he cannot do the things that he would. Flesh, as we've seen many times, especially in Paul's letters, is used not simply of the physical body, it's used of man as he is by nature, a fallen creature, apart from the saving grace of God. And everything that proceeds from the flesh, from what we are by nature, is sinful. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit. You have the same thing in Romans 7 and verse 15. Romans 7, verse 15, for that which I do I allow not, for what I would that I do I not, but what I hate that do I. And then verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, but will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. In other words, what I am by nature, flesh, everything coming from the flesh is sinful. Only what is the result of the Spirit of God working in us is truly good. And it is a humbling thought to realize that by nature we have not the slightest drop of love to God in our hearts, that we do nothing good. In the true sense of the word, we might outwardly conform to what is right, but as for hearty obedience to God, we are not naturally able to do anything. And we tend to forget that. We easily forget that. We can't pray. We can't keep the Sabbath from the heart. We can't love our neighbor as we should. We can't worship God. We can't do anything from a true heart except by the Spirit of God working in us. The whole of our sanctification is from God. Isaiah 64 verse 6, for all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquity like the wind hath taken us away. Or Psalm 143 verse 2, Psalm 143 and verse 2. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. That is, by his own efforts. Psalm 130, verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? So everything that proceeds from what we are by nature is bad. Only that which proceeds from the work of the Spirit in us is truly good. All that proceeds from man by nature is corrupt and damnable. And we are dependent on the grace of God for justification, deliverance from the guilt of sin through the merits of Christ, and for sanctification. Only God can make us holy. Only God can sanctify us. He does it in Christ through the truth, the word of God, and by his Spirit working in us. So we are as dependent upon God to make us righteous as we are upon God to declare us righteous through our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation in every respect and in every part is of the Lord. Amen.